brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Yes, it's sipping time again. Hello and welcome to this episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m. We are a one-hour show that is rarely entertaining for more than 20 minutes at a time, but at least for this episode, we've managed to talk Brandon to wearing pants.
Nope. It said check your pants at the door, and that's what I did.
We have to have a serious sit-down talk about your interpretation of the term business casual, sir.
No, I think the rest of the people need to understand business casual.
I don't think so. Think of the children, man. Think of the children.
There's no children in my business.
Thank God. Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are the pantsless Made Man Brent.
It's a pleasure to be here. I always enjoy the basement time.
Good old boy, Justin.
Good morning, Bob.
And Harmeet, if he could actually look this way at the microphone.
I don't have to look at the microphone, Bob. I'm primping my pubic hairs so I can fit in with the decor. I mean, Brent went all out.
I don't even want to.
There's
even
literally
know where
mistletoe
that came
there.
From. I don't even want to know where this comes from.
Don't look anymore. Just look away.
Brent and myself are with the Bourbon Mafia. The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization of bourbon enthusiasts and industry professionals with a representation in 8 states. Our members combine a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable work. The group uses their love of our native spirit to raise money for local and national charities through rare bottle auctions and other themed events. You can check them out on Facebook at the Bourbon Mafia.
Just a bunch of drunks with big hearts.
And this show is also sponsored in part by Fine Spirits in Cooper City, Florida, home of the non-working Enomatic machines, which if they were
they
working,
they
would
worked.
Be serving
they
great
working,
wines, whiskeys, worked. And other spirits by the glass. Probably a double retail.
I was pouring $1,000 whiskey the other night, but you weren't invited.
You can find them at www.cheapsob.com.
So mean.
Yeah, I know.
www.facebook.com/finespirits or finespirits.net on your local internet browser.
I like mine better. Our show is also sponsored in part by the Fort Lauderdale Whiskey Society. To find out more about the society and their events, you can visit them at ftlws.com.
Got it right once. Love it.
Yeah. Hey, blind pin finds an acorn once in a while. So our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and every other beverage in the world. And today's show, we'll be discussing some whiskeys from Barrel Bourbon. And here's a list of the whiskeys that we're going to be tasting today. We have the Barrel Bourbon Batch 17, the Barrel Bourbon Batch 18, the Barrel Bourbon Batch 19, Barrel Bourbon Dovetail.
And they gave it a name? Nice. Everything's just a number, man.
I love it when he like joins in on the conversation. You know, it's like,
actually,
you know, we've been sitting here for half an hour discussing all of this before we turned the recording on, and now he's just woken up.
I stopped listening to you guys. Longer.
Barrel Bourbon, Dovetail, and then lastly, the Barrel Bourbon Infinite Barrel Project. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to have Justin do our sips ratings for us.
Okay. So we'll be tasting and discussing these whiskeys.
Oh, Brent's getting more peat today, huh?
And rating them with these sips ratings, plus our signature sounds.
Which here are disgustings. Yep.
Here are those ratings now. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth. Ugh.
It's Brent drinking Isla, yeah.
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
5 sips. Oh my! I was unaware anything could be this good.
She was much more convincing than you were.
He spent a little bit too much time in that drama class at community college, I think.
I love the hand gestures for radio, too. Those always helped.
Yeah. You think he's like part Italian. He's talking with his hands. All right. So we're going to have Brent tell us a little bit about barrel bourbon.
First off, barrel bourbon is misspelled.
So Barrel Craft Spirits, the producers of barrel bourbon, was founded in 2013 by Joe and Janet Beatrice. Joe's involvement in the spirits industry goes back to the 1980s when his firm Blue Dingo Digital was busy creating digital presences for various brands in the spirits industry. But that all changed in 2012 after a trip to the local distillery when he got the bug to get into the whiskey business on the production side. Built on the Scottish model of an independent bottler and blender, they began sourcing quality whiskeys and rums from various sources and blending them to try to make an end product that is better than the sum of its parts. And apparently it is working, as they have received numerous awards and accolades, starting with the release of their first batch, including the award for the best bourbon at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition for their Batch 11 release. After several years of building on their success, they are ready to take the next step by building their own distillery and hiring Tripp Stimson, formerly of Brown-Forman Kentucky Artisan Distillery, as their master distiller. Currently producing 2,000 barrels a year with plans to expand production already underway. Even when their new make spirit reach maturity, they will continue with their sourcing and blending operations. So let's get started with our first whiskey. Harmeet, what do we got there?
All right, our first whiskey is the eponymously named Batch 17. It's 112.5 proof, 56.25% ABV. The whiskeys in this batch were distilled and aged in Tennessee, Indiana, Kentucky, from a selection of 10-year, 4-month, 14- and 15-year-old barrels, respectively. The color is a beautiful mahogany, and on the nose, it's changed since I first tried it, but it really starts out with some nice walnut, some cinnamon, white flowers, cherries, and apple. I think as we were tasting before the show, Brent said it's cinnamon and apple, but not enough to go apple pie. And I think that's very apt, Brent.
Yeah.
So I'm just throwing you some props right away, my friend. Very good whiskey nose. And the palate is a little different. I was expecting to be sweeter, but it got some nuttiness and some cake. And let me try that again. Just mouth coating. Really nice and viscous. That nuttiness, like I said, it finishes though sweet, like pound cake and vanilla, medium long, and I've just really enjoyed it. Justin, what do you think?
On the nose, I got cinnamon, brown sugar, and like a sorghum cookie. And on the palate, it was spicy, sweet, and I got strong brown sugar notes. And the finish fades away really nicely, like a nice dream. What do you think, Bob?
That's just like your opinion, man.
I don't think it was as sugary as you, Justin. Bob? You think it's sugary? Like he said brown sugar like a lot.
No, not a lot.
Yeah, it's just a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
a little bit of that.
A correct amount, not, right, not anything.
Like in baking of a brown sugar. Yeah.
It's, so I have a hard time relating to the sorghum cookie thing. It's been like 30 years since I've had a sorghum cookie.
I mean, it's got a big nose on it, and from that nose, you're kind of expecting a lot more oak than you actually get on the palate. Usually, when you get something with this, it's you're getting that oak bomb, and it's like licking the floor in a carpenter shop. But they managed to
again blend. Something I don't really relate to, but thanks. Yeah.
I've seen you do it.
I've licked a lot of things, my friend.
I'm sure you have. I swear. Here we go. Okay.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Lord. I just, you know, every once in a while he just comes up with one of these. And
you've done enough. Have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last.
No.
Have you left no sense of decency?
No, probably not.
None whatsoever. None.
But it's got the big oak nose, but it doesn't have, you know, the big giant oak tannin in it. So they've done a good job blending that out.
I think it's pretty balanced.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. The palate is very balanced, and from the nose, you might think it would not be, but cinnamon baking spice on it. There's a significant amount of oak, but not overly done.
You don't get the walnut I'm talking about?
Walnut?
Hmm.
No.
I get more of the sort of the bitter part of the walnut than the actual nut the part actual of the walnut.
Walnut skins?
Yeah. But a lot of oak. I get a lot of molasses on this. So it's more of a, you know, it's somewhat sweet, but more of that sort of burnt caramel. You know, well done. I mean, I think extremely well blended. They did a good job on this one. And it's got a really good mouthfeel too.
Did it still have that taste to you, that apple and cinnamon thing?
Very much
out?
So. This is kind of like somebody was in the kitchen doing some holiday baking, and they just took a lot of those different spices that they got and they blended them together, and they created this. So it's an amazing job that they took whiskeys from Tennessee, Indiana, and Kentucky. You have the three different ages, and they were able to make this blend that really combines them together.
Yeah, it's
nicely.
It's like big oak, molasses, apple pie spice, you know.
And there's no predominant, like sometimes on some of theirs, I've had a predominant, okay, this is, as soon as I taste it, I'm like, okay, this is George Stickle.
Well, that's, you know, and the nice thing I like about it is each batch is different.
Right.
You know, so I mean, I guess they're going by what they can source. Is,
right.
Know,
and so they're doing a phenomenal job blending this right now.
Yeah. So we're going to be rating this one a batch 17, 4 sips.
That's classified.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
And we're back, and we are discussing some bourbons and some whiskeys from the folks at Barrel Bourbon out of Louisville, Kentucky. And we just finished talking about the Barrel Bourbon Batch 17, which we rated at 4 sips. And we're moving on to the next batch. Let me grab the glass here. This is Barrel Bourbon Batch number 18. It's 111.56 proof, 55.78 ABV. The whiskeys in this batch were distilled and aged in Tennessee and Kentucky from a selection of 11, 14, and 15-year-old barrels. Like all the ones here, it's got a beautiful, nice color to it, almost like a dark walnut. On the nose, I get a lot of...
it's more reddish.
Getting a lot of orange on this. And then I get a little bit of mint in the tip of the nose. Yeah, that citrus, the citrus is definitely all up in the head. And almost like a spicy cardamom. And then on the palate, hold on. On the palate, it's got a really nice mouthfeel. I'm still getting the orange on that. I'm getting some berries on it. And then I'm getting some coffee note and like a very, very, very dark chocolate, almost bitter chocolate.
Yeah, I get more of the dark chocolate than I do of a coffee.
Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. What do you think, Brent?
It's a beautiful blended. I mean, they've done a great job. They just did the two, the from the two states, Tennessee and Kentucky, with the three different barrel ages, and they did a great job. I love with the nose, like the last thing on your nose is that lime. It's just like you don't get that very often in a bourbon. You know, so you get that, and it's just like your last thing before you go to taste it, and you have that lime scent there, and then you get just your palate's covered with those, with the citrus, your orange citrus, the honey, chocolate. I like that chocolate, and it's a beautiful finish.
It's almost Dalmore like. It's like a chocolate orange.
Yeah, exactly.
I get more of the Christmas chocolate orange that he was talking about.
Chocolate Christmas orange there. Yeah, that you get. But it comes around once a year. You can buy them
in Godiva, year round. Just saying.
Not me.
Chocolate covered orange peel.
They only make them once a year. The ones you're buying in November are the old ones, you idiot. We wait till Christmas and we get the fresh ones.
I know you're talking about those chocolate oranges that you crack them or whatever, but I'm talking about like just a citrus peel, candied citrus peel covered in chocolate. But and as you were saying, lime, I got more lime peel rather than lime itself. And that mint that Bob was saying, it all shows up.
It's like lime oil. It's like lime
zest. It's beautifully blended. What can you say? You can see what they've been doing with this, and they took a lot of time.
They've had 18 batches to work. So
they've taken time to create some of these things. I know they won their award with batch 11, but I really wasn't that impressed with that one.
Yeah.
This is, to me, these are far better than batch 11.
Palates vary.
Right.
This is actually my first time tasting these whiskeys. Thanks for inviting me, kids. Justin?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
Thank you, Harm.
So, Justin, on the nose, the only note that I got that other people didn't mention was peanuts. And when I first started drinking this spirit, I got the heavy lime, and as it got more air, it got more cocoa and less lime. And the lime moved from the beginning of the palate to the end. And the finish is really long and nice. It's a really quality whiskey.
Yeah, coat your whole mouth. It's not with your... with the finish, you coat your whole mouth, and then you get this lingering down your body. But it's very pleasant. One of the nicest finishes I've had in a bourbon in a long time.
I don't know. He's just talking about things lingering down his body, and I just threw up my mouth a little bit. So could somebody?
You said he should put his pants back on. He's still not complied.
Could you watch the soundboard for a minute while I go rinse my mouth out a little bit? Dear Lord. There's an image that I can't get out of my head.
We are not made for TV. We're on radio.
This is also true. Thank God. I don't know.
By the way, have we hit any of the 20 minutes of entertainment? Have any of those come up yet?
No, they'll be sending Maury back in a box. They said money or humor. And I offered the humor instead because I figured I was...
Oh, for those of you who don't know what he's talking about, apparently Maury is AWOL from this episode because he may have been kidnapped.
Yeah.
We've been asking for body parts to prove that they actually got him, but nobody sent
proof
him.
Of life.
Yeah, right.
Well, you were asking for a toe.
Some people
I was
want a picture
in
a newspaper, but we want digits.
Cerebral lobe or something like that. Something I can really... Tangible,
Can we do a DNA thing from CSF, cerebrospinal fluid? Just tap his spine. Let us know if you've got him.
I don't have to worry about that. I'm an attorney, so therefore that's nothing that's ever going to happen in my world. Mm-hmm. So
anyway, I enjoyed it. Are we giving this a rating? Are we getting any entertainment value out of this yet?
20 minutes. You want a rating?
Yeah, rating. What's the rating?
You want a rating?
I want a rating of this.
Rate it.
Rate it.
You want me to give you a rating?
Signature sound. There's a signature sound associated with this.
Well, allow me to retort.
Okay, then. Fine.
It's not one. It's not two. It's not three.
All of a sudden, he's in a big hurry. Four sips.
Cuatro.
All of a sudden, he's in a big, big rush. I don't know.
I'd like to put my pants back on, so figure the show's over, I can put my pants back on. Otherwise,
you're in the basement.
Brent's sitting here pantless.
This is why I do this show blindfolded.
You're in the basement at 2 a.m, okay?
Yeah.
Just get comfortable, kids. Get comfortable.
All right.
So we're all very uncomfortable.
We're going to the next one, and Justin is going to tell us about that one.
So we have Barrel Bourbon Batch 19, It's 109.4 proof, or 54.7% alcohol by volume. The whiskeys in this batch were distilled and aged in Tennessee and Kentucky from a selection of 9.5 to 14-year-old barrels. The color I got was like a dark orange.
Brown.
On the nose.
Brown.
Brown. Orange. Dark orange.
Yeah. Justin's middle name is Thesaurus, in case you didn't know.
The nose, I got sourdough bread, a pack of menthol cools, and ginger.
Oh, man. That's like a good Saturday night, right? Yeah.
On the palate.
Saturday night in San Francisco.
I got caramel, salted almonds, and it had a medium finish to it. What'd you think?
Don't give me attitude, sir.
Okay, stop. Oh, I want to talk
about that. Of the three that we had of the batches, the 17, 18, 19, this one is... This one is a little bit off to me. There is kind of missing something. Menthol cigarettes. I don't know.
But you know, he specifically means cools. Cools,
not just cools. Menthol. Yeah,
not Marlboro menthol.
Cool cigarettes. I don't know where I get that.
I almost agree with him about the sourdough. It's kind of weird. Yeah, put that in my head, man.
No, it's you get a lot of fruit on the nose. I don't know where you get. I don't get a menthol.
Oh.
Just no hope, none whatsoever for you two.
To me, it's mint without the whole tobacco cigarette thing going
people
on.
People like this are a menace to
people. Oh yeah, the menthol definitely masks the regular tobacco flavor.
Yeah,
that's the whole point of menthol.
Okay, this is over the top.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on.
I have to taste this now again.
You know what, just start all over. Let me rewind this damn tape and let's just start over.
Let's do this show again with our pants on.
Yeah. Maybe that would help.
No, I get a lot of the bourbon notes with this, you know, with the caramel, the vanilla, the baking spices, a little bit of lemon there. It tails off with a little bit of lemon on the finish. menthol. I don't know where I get menthol.
I don't know. I got giggles over here and he gets this one going. I can't stop either one of them. It's like one of those outtakes, funny movie.
You know, I get the berries, and the fruit off of it. And,
definitely it's nice spice in there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice.
Are they cool berries?
Are they cool?
Only on the nose.
No.
The palate doesn't have any menthol cools at all.
Oh, no. God.
I have to judge between the three of them, and I prefer the other two more than I like this one.
This is more like a Camel Crush. Best. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell is coming from. No, I don't. Telling you, man. I agree with you, Brent. Of the three batch whiskeys we tasted today, this is my least favorite, but.
It's not like oh, this is a downhill, you know, we're heading for disaster.
Yeah,
no,
you know,
it's unique.
It is unique and it's good.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. It is something different. I like what they're doing here. I like that they're taking, you know, barrels from different states and different distilleries, putting them together, making a creation.
Do we know any details about their creations? Do we know how many barrels they use? Do we know is there a marriage time? I mean, in Scotland,
I don't think they disclose
they'll marry them in a big vat for a year or so sometimes.
It's amazing how he always gets curious and has all these questions after he gets here and sits down. He never has them before.
I asked them on the air because never I want to put you on the spot, Mr. Producer
ever.
Man.
Yeah.
Putting you on the spot.
I can tell you where they blend them. Louisville.
Louisville.
Or Louisville for the natives.
So they can be married in Louisville because they're just cousins.
Louisville.
They're allowed to be married as cousins, there you go.
Yeah. No, that's Louisville, unlike Alabama, but we won't go there, will we?
No. So, see, my wife escaped that. I'm from a whole different side of the planet, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there are some distilleries that are
This is her second marriage. The first one was to her cousin, though.
Yeah. there are some there are some places that, you know, in Kentucky that are taking and getting barrels from different places, letting you create your own bottle, which is a very unique thing as well.
It's just unique, or it's not. Very unique is superfluous.
Yeah. It's
redundant. There's only it's not a couple superfluous.
There's only a couple places that are doing it. You know, you go
nice
for the
throwing
one
that one back at him. Way to go.
You got. I hate people who say
you
very
shut
unique.
Mr. Smarmy right up, didn't you?
Stop saying very unique, man. Stop doing it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Unique. Smarmy all of a sudden got quiet. Hey, you know what?
Lighten up, Francis.
Yeah. Oh God, we're already off the rails. I'm sorry.
But they're doing this process, and it's a unique vary, and you can take and sample the different barrels that they have there, and then you can make your own blend. And I think what they've done here with Barrel Bourbon is they've done this on a large scale process and a better process, because they've done it with an entire barrel, with the entire barrels.
Yeah, I've been to many blending seminars, and I just don't have the touch. Let the professionals do it. These guys are doing a good job.
I've tried making my own blends.
It's hard.
I've talked to his wife about it many times, and she says
and
he does
says
not
he
have
does
the touch.
Not have
at
the
all.
Touch. We all agree on that.
Not even.
Yes.
Whoops. But I've got the tongue.
Mm-hmm. Well, she says it's not hard. My correction.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
Yeah. You guys are hopeless. I don't know.
This is a PG-13 episode, I think.
I don't know. I like this one. I think it's nice. It's my third favorite of the three, but I think it's an excellent whiskey. It's extremely well done.
Very much so. There's nothing wrong. I mean, you have to have, it's like a child, whether anybody says it or not, you have to have a favorite child.
And you should beat the least favorite.
Yeah, my second one tells me that all the time. So
let's hope they're not listening to the show, because they're going to wonder which one it is.
Right. I tell each one of them.
Or do they know?
Right. Yeah. Each one of them I say, listen, you're my favorite child. Don't tell the other one.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
That's good.
They don't find out till the will comes.
Then you get the self-esteem going.
Right, exactly. You know, like, you're my favorite, but don't tell the other.
Right. I think it's nice. It's definitely like a salted caramel.
No.
I get on the palate, I get the salted caramel. I get
more than one of you said that salted caramel thing. I do not get it. In fact,
you get the menthol. The menthol was there.
So I get caramel and salted almonds, but tomato, tomato.
I get the orange zest, and I get a little bit of sage in the tip of the nose, sort of behind the menthol.
That you just pulled that one out of your butt.
Sage. Lemon, kind of absolutely. A lemony finish. It's like
absolutely.
He's right. Brent is right on this episode. Yeah. More than he's been right any other episode. There's something wrong.
He's on it.
You know, it's you get this lingering lemony finish.
Stuff up.
No, I've got it. It's there. I can
smell sage.
It.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
You sure it's not a stripper named Sage?
No. And I get a little bit of hint of a little bit of hint of toasted coconut on it. And I definitely
It's been made in American oak. American oak gives you coconut flavors.
Gee, thanks for telling us that.
So
we couldn't have lived without your
chemical analysis. You're pretending you get toasted coconut.
Yeah. Do you want me to start naming off the chemical compounds in the wood that gives you that? Never mind.
Right. Do it. Let's hear it.
And I get some of the lemon note as well. So, but yeah, all in all, an excellent whiskey. I think they did a good job with this one. So,
signature sound, man. Signature sound. Let's do it.
You want the signature sound? All right.
Woo! There you go.
That is the universal signature sound for all that is awesome in life. Come on. I mean, there's nothing better than the Macho Man.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to rate this one 3 sips.
Interesting.
It was interesting.
It was.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
You know what's even more interesting?
All of them, every single one of them is very interesting.
What's even more interesting is the one Brent is going to talk about. This one, Brent. Your next one is even more interesting.
All right. We're going on to the next one.
Okay. This one is Barrel Bourbon Dovetail. It's 123.8 proof or 61.9% ABV. This expression is made for a blend of 10-year-old distilled in Indiana, finished in Jerome.
Done. Put your glasses on.
Dunn Vineyards, Cabernet barrels, and 11-year-old bourbon distilled in Tennessee, finished in black strap rum casks, and LBV port pipes.
See? More interesting. And of all the things you could have asked, you asked him to put his glasses back on. You still haven't made him put his pants back on.
I got a better chance of him putting his glasses on than his pants. See? Never He's putting happens. Them on right yeah. now.
Never happens.
There you go.
Yeah, I can't do that. It
doesn't
don't,
help if you've been drinking this much. The glasses won't help.
No. They don't help. But the color of this is a nice dark copper color. Like I always like to say, the dark copper penny color. It's beautiful. On the nose, you get a lot of fruits. You get the apricots, the grapefruits. You get apples, a little bit of floral notes. It's like when you open up that can of fruitcake at Christmas.
You get fruitcake in a can?
Yeah, it comes in a can. It always comes in a can.
Hmm.
Your fruitcake comes in a can, that doesn't
was a
it?
Tin, yeah, I guess you're right.
Mine
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking to a heathen down here on the end of the table, okay?
I used to buy the best fruitcake available made by these damn monks in New Orleans. They don't make them anymore. They don't sell them anymore. That stuff was all local. It was amazing. Can't yeah. there.
Then when you're
no
don't
tins.
Give me attitude, sir.
Yeah. Okay.
Then when I go to it, when I taste this, oh, it's just beautiful. I get this nice dark chocolate notes, a nutmeg, get a little bit of cocoa, some baking spices, some little. There's a touch of black pepper. On
you got
this,
black pepper.
A little bit of black pepper. I was thinking that I was trying to determine if it's black pepper or white pepper, but it's a pepper note.
Unlike you racist bastards, I don't see color when it comes to pepper. I just see pepper.
That's why I always pepper. Give Brent red, I mean, Bob red pepper. I red couldn't tell. Pepper. I can't tell the difference between these two white guys, Brent, Bob, whichever, the one across from me. He asked for black pepper. I was given the red pepper. See
my great-grandmother's Native American, which still makes me 9,000 times more than Elizabeth Warren. So you can call me red. That's fine.
You're a red man.
If my dad was one generation closer, he'd be getting a check from one of the casinos. So
this is unique, very...
Oh, stop. I will cut you. I will cut you. I'm not even going to let you finish.
Let's go to a commercial and see if we can get this back in track here. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. And we're back, and unfortunately we still haven't managed to chase Brent down and get pants on him. It's kind of like chasing with a greased pig, but, you know, he's sitting in the corner now, sort of minding his business, so I think we'll be all right.
No, I'm not. I'm not a corner, people. Well, maybe I am in the corner.
He's more of the center of the floor pig in the ballerina. Yeah. Tutu.
But overall, this is this blend. I'm going to get back to this with this dovetail.
So what
they've really done?
Why they give this one a name?
Well, I don't know why they gave it a name. I guess, you know, instead of a batch. Because
is
of the stuff they
going to be a regular release by them? Is that
well? This is not just a batch of whiskeys; these are ones that have been finished.
They finished it in the Dunn Vineyard, the Cabernet barrels, and then that Blackstrap rum cask and the LBV port pipes. I don't know what those exactly
LBV
are.
LBV means late bottle vintage. Hmm. They don't always do vintage when it's not generally considered a vintage year. They can sometimes call it an LBV when they'll designate it as a vintage when it's been held longer in the bottle. I don't remember all this stuff, but I've never heard of LBV referred to port. It's usually referred if there's sherries that are LBV.
Okay, well, so this one is different, but.
Or no, I'm sorry, I've got that backwards. I've been drinking. Yeah, that's right.
So glad he's with us. Yeah, awesome. Oh, dear Lord.
Do they know the source? We don't know the source of the port.
Be quiet. Either. Brent, you were saying?
Yeah, but this one really does remind me of starting off as a fruitcake and then just finishing up with that chocolate.
Hey. Watch that fruitcake stuff. We're in the 2019 here, okay? That's offensive.
Yeah, and then it comes in with that dark chocolate and the nutmeg on the, you know, on your palate, and the finish is just beautiful. I love this one. I mean, this one here, this is by far my favorite of the day so far.
Really?
It really is. I mean, it's a
tough call for me.
It is so unique.
You can't do unique, very. Don't start with a very unique. There's something wrong.
You know? You're sitting next to the grammar Nazi, apparently.
I know that. So. That's why I had that unique very.
The guy who got a C in English class. You know what's worse than
grammar Nazis? Real Nazis. Just regular Nazis. Don't do that.
It's a beautiful mouthfeel, though. I mean, what do you not like about this one?
There's nothing not to like. It's just not the best whiskey I've had. But I don't know about... I think I like number one just as much, if not more. No? The best 17? 17? No? Justin, weigh in. You're just sitting there with your mouth open.
When Harmeet mentioned New Orleans, king cake came to mind.
This is not a lot of elements in king cake. Cinnamon.
I got apricots, roses.
Oh, what king cakes are you eating?
The ones, you know, where you try not to swallow the baby.
The fancy ones?
Yeah. And I had cocoa, molasses, nutmeg on the palate in this one. And the finish is really long. And it's really good. I really like this stuff. What do you think, Bob?
This is a very interesting one.
Too many words for you, Justin.
I think they did a really good job on this. I think it came out. It's really lovely. I think it's one of my two favorites of the day.
So I was asking, batch 17 or Dovetail, Justin?
Not getting into that right now. I'm talking about this one. You go back to sleep. So yeah, on the palate. Well, on the nose.
I was going back to Justin because I think Justin didn't put any weigh in. He never weighs in.
On the nose, I'm definitely getting apricots on this.
I brought in the menthol cools. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you did. So there you go. And I'm getting the floral notes on the nose, but on the palate, it's all cocoa.
This is the most confusing whiskey. It's
definitely the most unique from the nose to the palate.
Black, dark chocolate.
Right.
But the palate does not match the nose.
Exactly.
That's what's so weird about it. That's why I kind of think they're both good. The batch one better. The batch 17.
This is like the double hit. You get one whole nose and then you get a whole different palate. I don't want it to line up, Harm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, one of my quibbles about a lot of wines and some whiskeys we've had before, the nose promises the world and the palate falls flat. This nose promises the world and then the palate gives you a different dimension.
Right. But
I thought I was going to Earth. I ended up on Mars. This is wrong.
Right. But it still gave you the world.
It gave you a totally different world.
Gave you two. Right. Totally different exactly. world. It gave you a world too.
Where Hitler didn't lose.
No.
You're watching too much Star Hitler, Trek, Harmeet. Okay?
I gotta say.
You know? You're going to get Spocko with his heater? Yeah. Okay.
You think you're in the Federation and it turns out evil Spock is there. It's not good.
The thing I really got in this, you can tell it's Blackstrap rum because there's Blackstrap molasses in this. I mean, it's almost as if they poured a teaspoon in this glass.
Absolutely right.
And that's really, really showing through. That's showing through more than either of the other two casts to me.
But I didn't get any of that Blackstrap on the nose. It's not there. On the palate, it's right there.
Well, molasses doesn't have a very pronounced aroma anyway.
I beg to differ.
Well, you can differ.
I try not to beg.
It's not what your wife tells me.
Well, yeah, that's a whole different dynamic, my friend. It's a whole different dynamic. We're on a whiskey show.
Lighten up, Francis.
Are you pouring some more?
I'm looking at the bottle too because I think these are all non-chilled filtered. Because if you look at them, you can see the sediment in there.
Ah.
You can see the sediment and stuff. And in the first glass,
a little bit of fatty acid in it.
I had sediment in the bottom of my first glass when I was doing it.
I just did a few drops of water in here. There's a ton of fatty acids coming. There's a lot. This is definitely not non-chill filtered. So
yeah,
beautiful. This is definitely not non-chill filtered.
This is definitely non-chill filtered.
Hey, thank you. Okay, grammar Nazi, double negative.
I'm sorry. I've been drinking.
I don't care.
I don't care.
The rest of us have been drinking. Our English
as long as it was
fine.
Not very unique, we're good.
Everybody else is fine. Apparently, it's just Mr. Saucy.
What differences did you get with the water?
I haven't tasted it yet. I'm saying when I poured the water, you can see the fatty acid. This top. Is definitely
yeah. You can see it right at the top when you did that. I could see that too.
All right, on the nose, that sugariness is more pronounced, and on the palate, it's a little lengthened. I don't get the grapefruit that somebody mentioned earlier, but definitely the apricots are more pronounced. The floral notes are beautiful. And then that damn palate that changes everything. It's yummy, but now I'm getting more of the fruit that I sat on the nose coming out on the palate. Now it's matching more.
It matches more when you added the water?
Add the water.
I just added a couple drops, so I'm going to try it as well.
I saw you doing your amateur capful. You can freehand that, my friend.
Not right now.
That's actually a good idea.
Because Brent never adds water to anything, so that was amazing. So there you go.
I'm not getting that big of a difference.
You don't see it's not matching more? I'm getting more of the fruit, but before I wasn't getting the fruit. Before, on the palate, it was all about chocolate.
I get
and your black pepper, because you don't.
I get a
you're
lot
very
more,
racist about your pepper.
I get a lot more floral.
Anti-racist.
I get a lot more floral on the nose, sir, with the water on it.
I got more cocoa and pepper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What? Did apricot after the water. Come on? Apricot.
I had apricot before.
Yeah, I had apricot
on the palate?
Before. Yeah.
But now that I've added the water.
I had apricot on the nose, but gone. Now I'm adding with the water, I'm getting the apricot on the palate too.
I haven't had it yet.
No.
Yes. The apricot is very strong on the palate.
No, I'm getting a little.
So just now all of a sudden I'm right. Yeah.
Well,
very
wasn't
uniquely
on the nose.
Right.
No, I'm getting just a little bit of the floral note on the palate with the, but it's still it's still uniquely different.
And I just want to cut you. Just want to put your pants back on so I can slap you.
Apparently,
I don't want to touch you. I don't want to touch you when you don't have pants on.
It's intoxication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the different levels of intoxicated harm. This is the one where he's angry.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm very happy drunk, my friend.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Right. Keep drinking.
Apparently, I've got enough in you. All right, so we're going to be rating the Barrel Bourbon Dovetail 4 sips.
That's classified.
All right, so we're going on to the last one that we have today from the folks at Barrel Bourbon, and this is the Barrel Whiskey Infinite Barrel Project. This is 117.5 proof, 58.5% ABV.
Can I see the bottle, please?
And the release is... Oh, no, sorry, that'd be 58.75 ABV. This release is the ultimate expression of the Infinity Bottle, a concept that a lot of whiskey geeks are familiar with, where you have little bits and pieces of different bottles. You get one big bottle and you pour them all in whenever you have leftovers.
I don't like that concept. I don't like that concept.
I've never done it personally, but I know a lot of people who do it. I don't think I can abide by it. It's just kind of weird.
I found with my crystal meth, it doesn't work that way.
Oh.
When you mix them up, the blue one goes with the white one, goes with the clear one.
What happens?
It doesn't seem to work out for me very well. Last time I did that, I was running around
you
screaming.
You have surprisingly a large number of teeth left in your mouth for doing that.
Oh, they're all fake.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so. But the folks at Barrel Bourbon started this with a blend of 9 whiskeys from 4 different countries, the United States, Scotland, Ireland, and Poland. Who knew?
Who knew Poland had a whiskey?
I asked Poland. I'm thinking vodka. You know what I mean?
Right. Polish, they make great eau de vie.
You know,
a wonderful Schlivovitz, plum brandy. There you go.
It's time to go to Poland and do a whiskey
show. That may have been their downfall, maybe.
Well, as they remove...
Sure wasn't Hitler and the Nazis?
How many times can we talk about Nazis today?
Yeah, apparently you've been
obsessed.
Watching Hogan's Heroes too much.
Call me a grammar Nazi.
Just go sit in the corner and be quiet. So as they remove a portion to bottle each new batch, they replace the lost volume with new whiskeys. So this thing is going to be changing constantly. I believe they've had 5 or 6 different bottlings of this.
So this is different
so
than the Solera process, which is this, I don't know if people are the Solera process just takes your old batch and then they blend that into your new batch.
Right.
So this is different than that. Yeah. This is more of the Infinity bottle that people create at home.
Yeah.
But when you do a Solera process, you're racking the barrels, you're changing the barrel composition. Like the older stuff moves to the top, and it's
well, you're taking your own product and and taking the newer stuff and blending it into all the older stuff and going forth. This, they're taking all the different whiskeys and putting, you know, the leftovers.
Are they just have buying leftover whiskeys from around the world? What's going on?
Well, I don't think they're leftover whiskeys, no. I mean, they're going out there and sourcing particular whiskeys that they
clearly
want.
From what we've tasted, they're careful what they're sourcing. They're not buying garbage. You know, these guys have a process, and whatever they're doing it well.
Yeah.
Because we've tasted wonderful blends.
But, you know, when they're blending, you end up with, you know, maybe a gallon here or a gallon there of something left over that you didn't need for the last batch that you were doing.
I just asked if they're buying leftover whiskey, and then you just use the word leftover after telling me no.
He doesn't know exactly what, they're not revealing exactly what they're doing.
Let me rephrase that again so that he can open his ears. When you're blending, you end up with bits and pieces of leftover barrels because you didn't need quite 53 gallons for that batch of one particular whiskey. So maybe you have a little bit left over, and what are you going to do with that? Well, this is, I think this is a very innovative idea to be able to take
those. If it were me, I'd just take it home and drink it, but you know, that's me. I might share it with my friends.
That's what happened to you. So so that's basically, you know, the concept here. It's the same thing that people do at their house, except they're just doing it on, you know, an industrial scale.
In an industrial barrel size.
It's the meatloaf of bourbon.
If anybody out there has a good Infinity bottle that they have at home, let us know. Just send us an email.
A lot of people
send us a sample.
A lot of people claim they have a great Infinity bottle.
I have not tasted one yet.
Yeah, but a lot of people claim it.
Well, they claim it. Yeah, I've had customers and friends bring me samples of their Infinity bottles. It's like, wow.
Okay, Bob, tell us more about this one.
Well, it's got a very unique nose. It's because I mean, you're basically getting a blend there.
There's like no indistinct, nothing like sticks out at you.
Well, it's, you know, you've got Scotch, you've got Irish, you've got Polish, you've got American, so you've probably got some Kentucky and probably got some, maybe some Indiana, maybe some Tennessee.
It's confusing because every time I come back to nose it, I get something different.
Yeah.
And it's not always pleasant, though. That's the thing. It's like there's wonderful complex whiskeys out there. Every time you come back, it's complex and harmonious, but this is like kind of jarring to me. You know, what'd you get like just now?
I don't think it's jarring. I just think it's hard to place. Because you're not getting one particular style in it.
I don't have to look for one particular style.
I'm getting a very big sweetness on the tip of the nose. But it's not, you know, it's not popping out like a, you know, like a bourbon sweetness. You know, the other
I mentioned eau de vie from Poland. It smells almost like plum
brandy. The
other
whiskeys are sort of going in and sort of balancing it, you know, sort of bringing it all out into even. So it's different, but let me try a sip here.
Nobody else got plum brandy?
I got Pinot Noir.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you bring first note? What happened?
Oh, it was the first note I got first time around. But the palate keeps changing as air hits it too.
Yeah, I'm getting almost like a cognac-y note to it.
I'll give you that.
It's very front forward on your palate.
It's very front forward.
Very front forward. I mean, it's a little bit off-putting that it's so front forward. You know, the tip right toward the tip of your tongue, kind of.
Yeah, it's the front half of your tongue and not the back half. But yeah, it's got almost a,
it doesn't have that whole creamy mouthfeel that you have with some of the others.
Yeah, it's got a cognac-y note to it. It's definitely different. I've never had anything like it. What did you think, Brent?
I pulled a Harm on this one, you know, because I read the description. I read the description, and then I made a preconceived notion of what it was going to be like. And but this is not a bourbon. This is a whiskey, and so it doesn't have any bourbon notes to it like we have with all their other batches, which I kind of miss. I'm missing all those. So. You know, a little too different for me. Harm?
Particularly not impressed by this whiskey. It's just too weird. Not my thing.
Well, what'd you think, Jason?
When I first had it, it was really gross. And then...
Pulls no punches!
When I drank it again, it's starting to grow on me. I don't know if it was air hitting it. Like, first...
Well, we're going to be rating this one 2 sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and you can catch all of our episodes where you found this one, as well as on terrestrial and satellite radio, and online at iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, CBS Radio, Radio.com, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, PRX, and pretty much any place you can find a podcast. The easiest way to find this show on your phone is to ask Alexa, Siri, or Google Play Podcast Sip Sud Smokes. Hold on. And we love your feedback, and you can reach us online at SipSudsAndSmokes.com. Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at Sip Sud Smoke, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands of other fans on those social media platforms. You can also check us out on Instagram at Sip Suds and Smokes or at Made Man Bob. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. It's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. And I want to thank our co-host for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
Thanks. You know, I had a lot of preconceived notions about barrel bourbon, and I think this tasting really changed those.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Harm.
Thanks for having me, Bob. Putting my pants back on. The whiskeys were good today. I'd never tasted them before, but unfortunately, we finished on one I didn't like, but the rest were fantastic. I think they do a good job.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Bob. An amazing day in the basement.
Yep. Not a shabby day at all. So for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob, and we thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey. What do you think, Samuel?
It's my job to handle life and death situations on a daily basis. It's what I do, and I'm very good at it.
He is. You have any idea how hard it is to find a Samuel L. Jackson sound clip that doesn't have a bad word in it? Impossible.
Yeah.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.